If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 120. And you know, going through the Bible is pretty amazing because you learn so much. I've learned so much in the Psalms. You know, not only are there prayers in the Psalms, but just the heart of the psalmist, David, and you know, the different guys writing these songs and prayers as they're writing. And as I went back again, after Psalm 119, in studying that, came to Psalm 120 to 130. These are amazing psalms, and they really speak to our hearts, because now what he's going to do is the next 13 psalms are going to be psalms of ascension, which means people are coming, Jews are coming from all over the place, and they're coming to the great feast. There was Passover, there was the Feast of Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. And they were coming to Jerusalem, and wherever you came, whatever part of the country, or whatever part of the world, if you came to Jerusalem, you always were going up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is about 2,300 feet on top of a mountain. And it's a beautiful place because it's a good defense place. If you were having an army and you were going to fight an enemy, you would want to be in Jerusalem defending the city of Jerusalem. You have an advantage. It's surrounded by mountains. Incredible when you go there. Those of you that have been to Jerusalem, you know how beautiful it is. As we're coming from Jericho and the Dead Sea, and we're coming up to Jerusalem. In the old days when we used to go, there was only one road. Now they modernized everything. But there was only one road up to Jerusalem. And as you were coming up, you would see the shepherds on the left, shepherds on the right. And you would see their big tents. They were living in these tents. And it was kind of funny because as you look at these tents, on top of the tent, you have a TV antenna on top. You know, modern technology. But it's incredible when you would come to the Mount of Olives, and you would make a left turn around the Mount of Olives, and then all of a sudden, if it was your first time, all of a sudden, here is the city of Jerusalem. Man, it's incredible. I can't describe it in words. You literally have to go there. You know, I was thinking how the Muslims make, in their lifetime, they have to make at least one journey to the place of worship in Mecca. And I thought, can you imagine if every Christian sacrificed and saved to go to Jerusalem? One time in your lifetime, it will blow you away. I've been there 35 times. And it's incredible, every time that I go there, it's a different experience. And I'm not talking emotionally. I've seen Jerusalem from the early 70s when there was really nothing there. And there was the Jordanians and the Israelis. And there was a border dividing it with the military. To what today, what happened in June the 10th, 1967, and the Six-Day War, when Egypt and Syria came against Israel, and Israel took on those armies and defeated them, and they took back Jerusalem for the first time in 2,000 years. Think about that. And so when you go to Jerusalem today and you're on top of the Mount of Olives, let's say this is the Mount of Olives, and you're looking down at the Kidron Valley, and then you're looking over the Kidron Valley, you see this hill. And over to my left, which is your right, you would see this golden dome of the rock. The second most holy place to the Muslims. Medina, Mecca, and Jerusalem. And what's incredible is that as you look there, from the left, your right, and you go to my right, your left, over here, you would see this little dome of the spirits. Very small. And then here in the middle would be the Eastern Gate. And in the Dome of the Spirits, this is the place where Solomon's temple used to stand, which is incredible. This is where the third temple is going to be rebuilt in the future. And the way it's going to happen, when you read the Bible, you come to the book of Revelations chapter 11. And then chapter 12, they're going to put a wall between the court of the Gentiles and the court of the Jews. When the Antichrist in the first 3.5 years of the last 7 years of world history will make a pact with Israel to build their temple. And did you know that when you go to Israel today, they will take you, we will take you to the city of Jerusalem, not the new city, the old city of Jerusalem, down by the Temple Mount and the Wailing Wall. That little city there of Jews today, they already have everything built for the third temple that's going to go inside of it. All they're waiting is for the building. They got everything ready to sacrifice again. And then I look at the economies of the world and I look at what's happening in the world today and how God is not only preparing the way for his second coming, but at the same time, I'm thinking, Lord, how long do we have left before the church is taken out of the way? How long, Lord? And on Sunday night, as we were studying the book of Daniel, the first 7 verses of Daniel chapter 1, I got blown away, man. That God had these whosoevers taken into captivity in the first siege when Nebuchadnezzar came to take the children of the Lord back to Babylon in captivity. The first siege was Daniel and his 3 friends. They became the first whosoevers in the Bible there in the book of Daniel. What Ryan and Sonny and all these guys are doing, just like Daniel. Looking for people that really don't just want to be church members, but they really don't want to be religious, but they really want to make a stand for Jesus Christ. To really be a Christian. And as I was reflecting all these things that have been happening and going on, and as I was studying the Word of God this week and going through the Psalms, I was thinking, man, David was a whosoever too. Because David did not care what people thought about him. He was in love with God. And when you read his prayers and you read the Psalms, and you begin to read now, concluding the Psalms, as we see the prayers of ascension, as we see them going up to Jerusalem to worship at Passover, to worship at Pentecost, to worship at Tabernacles, you begin to see the real heart of the people. And check this out. Look how he begins Psalm 120. Notice how he begins it here. This is the title of the psalm, is the plea for relief from bitter people. The psalmist here is not only going to give us a song of pilgrimage as they're coming to Jerusalem, but at the same time, he says this, beginning in verse 1, in my distress I cried to the Lord and he heard me. In the title of the psalm in the Old King James and New King James Bible, it says it's a song of degrees. Degrees. But literally, the word degree is the word literally ascent, as you're going up to Jerusalem. These are the psalms of ascent. And what's incredible here, as the actual people are coming, they're reflecting back to their captivity in Babylon. What they went through. When they were in Babylon for 70 years, Nebuchadnezzar made 3 sieges against the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the house of God. And can you imagine coming to the house of the Lord and reminding yourselves, because when they came back, only 55,000 returned. The rest stayed in Babylon. And when they came back, the city of Jerusalem was a mess. A mess. And so as the psalmist here is praying, he's crying out to God, and here in celebration, he's calling out to God in prayer and saying, in my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and he heard me. What an assurance we have tonight that whatever your distress may be, God is there for you. What's your distress tonight? Financially? Physically? Emotionally? Spiritually? Doesn't really matter where it is. It means that God is attentive. Not only does he see and hear everything, but he is concerned for individuality of people. He's not too busy to listen to you or to listen to me. I like that. Because that speaks to me of a personal God. And that tells me that I need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's really important. So the psalmist is just pouring out his heart. He's praying, and then God is going to answer. Notice again in verse 2 his prayer. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. I think this is one of the main problems, not only with Christians, but with non-believers, is the problem with lying and not telling the truth. We need to be careful of that. If you're here tonight and you're a liar, you need to change your life. You may be a husband and you've been lying to your wife, or a wife lying to her husband, or children lying to their parents. Or maybe you're lying to your employer or employees. And if you call yourself a Christian, you really need to have integrity. You need to be honest and truthful when you speak to people. I really got touched by the prayer of this man here. He says again, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Don't use deceit against other people. Make sure you're truthful. And then he says, what shall be given to you? What do you want, God? Or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? And he's speaking now against the tongue. James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, when you go home, read it. It has a lot to say about the little member called the tongue. How we can control these big old ships, can be in the sea, and this little rudder controls the ship. And yet we have this little tongue, and it controls us. It's unruly, full of poison, like a serpent. With it we bless God, and with it we curse people. We all do it. We all do it. And here he's talking about this evil little thing called the tongue. He says, out of my tongue sharp arrows of the warrior, with coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, and that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. David here is pouring out his heart as a pilgrim before the Lord. I am for peace, but when I speak to my enemies, they are for what? War. Notice that. For war. Psalm 121, God's help to those who seek him. If you really seek God, he'll help you. Notice how he starts out here in that hilly country of the city of Jerusalem. He says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where comes my help. Isn't that neat? Now you got to remember, the psalmist behind this is thinking how Israel had backslidden, and instead of worshiping God, they worship idols. Other gods in the hills. When I stand in Jerusalem, if I go down from the Mount of Olives, and I stand down in the bottom of the Kidron Valley, and I look up to the Mount of Olives, and I look to Mount Zion, and I look over to Scopus and all these other hills, Jerusalem is surrounded by all these hills. So you get the picture of the psalmist being in Jerusalem, lifting up his eyes over the hills, and he says, where does my help come from? My help, he gives you the answer, my help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. Isn't that neat? He doesn't speak about idols. He speaks about the true living God. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Notice the power of God. Where does my help come from? He says it comes from the Lord Yahweh, who made the heavens and the earth. Creator, no evolution. No evolution. There is a designer behind the design. you and I, the Lord. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Notice God speaking that if we have problems, God will be there for our problems. Behold, God who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is not sleeping. God is awake 24/7, 365 days a year. He's eternal. Whenever you call upon Him, He listens. He hears. The Lord is my help. He says in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Isn't that beautiful? This is all that God is to me, Yahweh. When He says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand, that is, you're coming from the desert, and literally there are no trees, there are no shade, it's very hot. But He says at the same time in the wilderness, who protected Moses and the people going to the wilderness? God gave them water. God gave them meat. God brought shade over their lives. And God gave them light and everything provided for them. God is our provider. He is my protector. He is the one that is there before me to keep me and to watch over me. And He speaks of the right side because that was the place that at the same time, this was the side that the enemy was always looking forward to because you're raising your sword or your spear and you could be killed very easily. But the left side was the strongest because that's where the shield was of protection, to protect yourself. So He's talking about God's divine protection over our lives. Verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. Isn't that neat? God's protection. And I think how David here is talking to my heart. Because when he says here, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil, He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve you going out, you're coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. I think how good God is to us. Think of what you're facing tonight. What are you going through? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Nobody. Everything that happens in the Word of God, everything that happens to you and to me, it's always by permission. God is allowing it either to chasten you or to bless you or to teach you a lesson. Read Hebrews chapter 12. You'll blow your mind. And then again, hear another psalm. In 122, the joy of going to the house of the Lord. Tonight you're king to the house of the Lord. You know, this is a busy time. And yet the importance where these people would travel hundreds of miles from Greece, from Mesopotamia, from all over the place, and they would come three times a year to Jerusalem just to be in the house of the Lord. The importance of church. Where they would worship, where they would hear the exposition of the Word of God, where they would get to sacrifice to the Lord, where they would get to give to the Lord of their finances. Isn't that beautiful? Check this out, what he says. He says, I was so glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Isn't that neat? We should never be bummed out about going to the house of the Lord. We should be joyous. Man, tonight's Wednesday night. Tonight is what? Sunday night, or today's Sunday morning. Or every day when I get up in the morning, you have church with the Lord as you sit down to read the Word of God and pray. And here the psalmist again declaring, going up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. He says, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Isn't that glorious? We've been standing, our feet have been standing within the gates of Jerusalem. I can say that tonight. I have been in Jerusalem, the beautiful city of our God. Nothing like it. And I've been to hundreds and hundreds of countries. Nothing like Jerusalem. It's an experience to be in the house of the Lord. And to reflect as I stand on the Mount of Olives when Solomon's temple was there, looking at that. He says, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compacted together. Notice what he says here. The nations of the world come there. All people come to Jerusalem. Where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Why do we go to Jerusalem? To go to the house of the Lord to do what? To give thanks to the Lord. To give thanks to the Lord. We come with thanksgiving into the house of God. Not murmuring and complaining or being a nuisance. We come with all of our burdens, all of our hurts into the house of the Lord. And then he says this, verse 5, for thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Isn't that something? He says, when you go to Jerusalem and you go to the house of the Lord, don't forget also that God will judge. God judges. And then he says this, pray. And you can underline the scripture, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may the prosper who loves you. What is he saying? That if you as a Christian pray for Jerusalem every day, God will bless you. There's stickers that have this scripture on it. This is important for Israel today. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for the Jews, for all that they're facing today. And then he says, notice, peace be within your wall, prosperity with your places. I can remember back in the 1980s with going with Pastor Chuck. I've gone many times with Pastor Chuck Smith, but I remember this one time he invited us to go, and we went. And someone in Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, one guy, one person, that was a business guy, that God had blessed him, he decided to give a gift to the nation of Israel. And that's at a time when Prime Minister Begin was in power in Jerusalem. And guess what? Chuck and a couple other pastors, and myself including, we got to go to see Prime Minister Begin. And we took him the gift, $450,000. $450,000. You know how they used it? When you go to Jerusalem and then you get to go to the Galilee, and remember where those of you that have gone to Israel, how many have gone to Israel? Raise your hands. Okay. Remember where we baptized you guys? That where the money went to the baptismal. They built that. They built that for the Christians to be baptized. $450,000 were given. And I remember standing in Prime Minister Begin's office, and when he came in, we're standing there, we couldn't believe it. And then I got to be with the king of Tonga. He saw my movie and he asked me to come to Tonga. And I got to share with him before he died. Chuck got to baptize him in Israel. It's incredible the doors that God opens all over the world to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we stand in Jerusalem, just like he says here, peace be within your walls, prosperity within your places. There is nothing like the city of Jerusalem. Nothing like it. And every Christian, like every Muslim goes to Mecca, every Christian needs to go to Jerusalem. Every 2 years we're going. And I pray that you will go, that God will provide somehow for you to go. You'll blow your mind. He goes on and he says in verse 8, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say peace be within you. Notice that. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. Isn't that neat? The importance here in the house of the Lord, the Bible. The word of God when you come to the house of the Lord. And then Psalm 123, the prayer for relief, for contempt here. He says, unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Imagine how important this is. We are not what? We are facing many trials in our lives. And where do we look? We look to the Lord. We got our eyes on the Lord. I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Who's that? God. Behold, as the eyes of servants looked at the hand of their masters, the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Just like an employee looks to his employer. Notice that. Or a servant looking to his master, we, the church, look to our Lord Jesus Christ for everything. He's the one that provides. He's the one that is always there for us. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Notice that. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those, the world, who are at ease with contempt of the proud. And then Psalm 124, our Lord's our defense. Notice what he says. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, what would happen? We would be done. If it wasn't for the Lord on Sunday night, I would not be here today. Or in August 1st, when I got hit on my motorcycle. It's the Lord. I really believe in the Lord. I really believe in his protection. I believe he's in control of my life. I don't fear. In that way where, oh, I can't get in the car, I can't do this, I can't. I'm in God's hands. There's a lot of people that are very fearful of a lot of things. And it's really important that we understand that he says the next thing, look what he says, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. So many of the pilgrims were coming to Jerusalem here, he says, and yet they were persecuted by people because they were Christians like us. Why would you want to go to the house of the Lord on Wednesday nights when you can be watching something else or doing something else? On Sunday mornings, you could go to the beach or you can go to the mountains or you can just stay home and rest. Why would you want to go to church? Because we come to the house of the Lord to worship and to learn about God. Look what he says, verse 4. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us and the streams would have gone over our souls. Here he's talking emotional experiences in the lives of those people that have problems. They cry. Their eyes are full of tears. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Speaking of our enemy, preserving us. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Isn't that beautiful? I am not trapped. God has set me free. Talking here about our mind and our emotions. Notice that. The snare is where the way they used to trap birds. They would have this little thing where they trap the birds. Like they kind of deceive the fowler, you know, to trap him. He says, our help is in the name of God, the Lord Yahweh, who made, what again starts, heaven and the earth. Notice creator everywhere you look in the Bible. He is the creator of all things. And then Psalm 125, the Lord, the strength of the people. Notice we're still heading toward Jerusalem. These are pilgrim psalms. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, the city of David, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. The doctrine of abiding. That's my position in Jesus Christ, abiding in him. John 15:4. Verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, there it is, Mount Zion, Mount Calvary, Mount Olives, all surrounding Jerusalem, notice what he says, so the Lord surrounds his people from the time forth and forevermore. Isn't that neat? So next time you go to Jerusalem, you're standing in Jerusalem, you look at those mountains, it's like the Lord surrounding you. Even here at Calvary, here in your home, here in the United States, whenever you feel whatever, God is surrounding you, his presence. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good. And to those who are upright in their hearts, he says, as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, now check this out, those that turn away from God to go back to the world, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Wow. Pretty heavy, huh? Peace be upon Israel. We got to stay true to God. Then Psalm 126, a joyful return to Zion. He says the psalm here has to do with the return from exile, Babylon. You know, 55,000 returns, so he takes you back a little bit here. He says, when the Lord brought us back to the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Imagine that. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongues with singing, and they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Imagine people today, 2,500 years ago, when Israel had been out for 2,000 years, and then on May 14, 1948, they were given permission to go back to Zion, to go back to Palestine, to go back to Jerusalem, in the land of Israel. And now already 61 years old, the nation of Israel, celebrating again this next year, on May 14, their 62nd birthday. And they're all back in the land, living in the last days. He says, with laughter and with singing, they're so happy because they're there in Israel. The Lord has done great things for us. Don't ever forget that this is a prayer. And we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Notice he's praying for the remnant to return from Babylon. The rest of the people that were still in Babylon, he's praying for them to return. Remember, they loved to stay, and they stayed in Babylon, most of them, but 55,000 returned only. And when they came back, the city was totally in debris. It was destroyed. They had to rebuild it back up. He says, those who sow in tears shall reap in what? In joy. Isn't that neat? The attitude we should have for other people. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed, which is the word of God for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Isn't that the time of harvest? Notice that. This is the true humility when we share God's word with other people. We weep when we see them come to know Christ. And then building a strong house, Psalm 127. This is now he's going to start another song of ascent. And this is a good psalm for pastors too, leaders in the church. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborer in vain who build it, and unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. That goes for mother and fathers, pastors, any type of a leader. Unless God builds your business, unless God builds your house, unless God builds your family, nothing is going to happen. You're building on the sand. You're building on sand. That's what he says here. Unless the Lord builds the house. Look at they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, 18 and 33, the watchman was called to go up in the evenings in the city they would live. They would close the main gate at sundown. Nobody could come in. And in every corner of the wall, they would have a watchman climb up with a shofar, a ram's horn, and a sword. And they would stand at the corner of the walls looking into the darkness for the approaching enemy into the city. And if they would see the enemy approaching the city, they'd take the shofar and they would blow it to warn the people so that the people could rise up and grab their swords and spears and defend their city against the enemy. But when Ezekiel writes chapter 3, 18 and 33, it is incredible because there he says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, I've called you to be a watchman and I want you to do this. I want you to go to my people and tell them about me. And Ezekiel, in those great chapters, he goes and he says this. He says, the responsibility of sharing your faith. He says, if you know a person that doesn't know God, and you don't tell them, and they die without you telling them, and they go to hell, I will hold you responsible for their lives. Because you had an opportunity, and you never share with them. But if you go to them, and you tell them, and they repent, then they're in the kingdom. But if they don't repent and they reject you and they reject me, he says, they made their own choice and I will judge them for their own decision. Imagine that. That's in the Bible. That's why Paul said in the book of Acts chapter 18 and 20, I wash my hands from all men's blood because I, Paul, have not failed to give to you the full counsel of God. Your blood is upon yourselves. If you die, don't blame me. Blame yourself. Pretty heavy. So here he says, unless the Lord builds a house, the laborer is in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Then he says, it is vain for you to rise up early in the morning, to sit up late at night, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Notice that. A lot of people stay up at night, and what do? They worry. They worry about almost nothing because God's in control. It's empty. It's vain to worry. Behold, the children are the heritage from the Lord. Now he's going to speak about the family. Notice this. Behold, the children are the heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It is beautiful. In those days, they had a lot of children. And God says having children is a blessing. It's not a curse. And look at all the abortions we've had in America today. Millions of babies have been killed. Millions of babies. And God says it's beautiful to have children. He says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Isn't that neat? When you get old, man, it's a blessing to have children. No, grandchildren. It's amazing. They blow me away. Oh, man, Bjorni, my only son, he's the only boy in the family. He's always, Papa, you know? It's so cool. And I mean, he loves swords. He loves, man, he likes cars. He's a total, he has three sisters, man, that always, oh, Bjorni, 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 you know? And I told him, hey, don't dress him like a girl ever. And make sure he has swords and guns and he knows how to be a boy. He loves motorcycles. He's always going, boom, 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 you know? It's amazing. And, you know, and he sits on my neck all the time. When I go anywhere, he's on my neck. And he's looking down at me, and I'm looking up at him, you know, and he's patting me on the head. It's so cool. What a blessing to have children like Ryan and then Shane and then Raul Jr., my sons. They're amazing. They're amazing when they were born and when they grew up and now they're older, you know, and you watch their lives. And how God had a plan for Ryan, a plan for Shane. God has a plan also for Raul Jr. And God has a plan for your children. And then I look at my grandbabies, Monet and Skyler and Arlen and Bjorn. And God has a plan for them. And if Ryan ever has kids, if he ever gets married. And Raul Jr. too. And they better hurry up before I die. You know? So I can enjoy my grandchildren. I love them the same way as I love these others. Man, it is a blast having grandchildren. Watch this, what he says. This is so cool. Verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Notice. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. Isn't that beautiful? That's the place of judgment. The city gates, that's where the judges sat. So this is incredible how he says it here concerning the family. And then in Psalm 128, the blessing of those who fear God, he's continuing the family. He says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. A family that fears God is in the hands of God, obeying God. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Notice that the rewards for being obedient and fearing God. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. It's so beautiful. The other night, Monday night, I went to help Melinda because she was in New York with the rest of the guys. And I had my nephews and my nieces. There were two. So Melinda was taking care of all these kids. They're all in. So Melinda said, can you go get dinner? Sure. Went to Pollo Loco, you know. And I came back and it was so amazing watching my nephews and nieces you know, sitting there with my grandbaby and my nephew and all my nieces. We have so many girls. And it was so neat to be able to see what a blessing they all are. Because that's the next generation. The next generation, next says. And check this out what he says. Behold, thus shall the man who fears the Lord shall be blessed. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. So as he's talking about the family, he comes right back again to the worship of God in Jerusalem. Yes, you may see your children's children. Isn't that amazing? The promise of God, if you obey and fear, you're going to get to see your grandchildren. Look what he says. Peace be upon Israel. God says, if you obey my word and you do what my word says, you will see your grandchildren. And man, that to me is amazing how God is in control. And God is going to do his work. Father, we thank you so much for your love and grace and mercies. We pray, Lord God, as we continue next week in Psalm 129, Lord God, that you continue to be with us and to work through our lives, Jesus. And Lord, surely we want to continue to know you intimately, Father. We thank you so much for thy word. It is a lamp unto our feet, Father. It is manna to our souls, Lord God. And it cleanses and washes our minds from all the filth of the day, Lord God. So Lord, help us to meditate upon your word. Help us to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to pray for Israel, Lord God, today. And Father, we pray if there's anybody visiting with us or here tonight, young, old, whoever they are, if there's anybody here that came without God and you want to know God and you want to leave with God tonight, you need to understand that you've sinned against God and sin separates you from God. But that's the reason that Jesus Christ came into the world and to die on the cross, so that he could pay for your sins and cleanse you and wash you through his blood, and he could write your name in the book of life when you come by faith to accept him and to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here that would like to do that, please stand to your feet, step down into the carpet here, down the court here, and come up here to the front and stand here, and we're going to pray for you. As we worship, you get up and you come. Whoever wants to receive Christ, come. Anybody else? You know who you are. You can leave here tonight the same way you came. Nobody's going to force you. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit in my life to be able to surrender and to repent and to come by faith to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Not a religion, but a personal love relationship with Christ, which changes all things in my life. Anybody else before I pray? I always want to make sure that everybody has come. Those that have come, just pray with me this prayer. If you came up here this morning, this evening, pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, okay? Pray with me this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible. See that guy right over there? Go right over there. Okay, awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Thank you for listening to Somebody Loves You with Pastor Raul Ries. If you would like more information, contact us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765, or call us at 1-800-634-9165.